Hey team, welcome to the Professionally Offensive Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Cabrera. This is the spot where we provide raw, unfiltered insights from some amazing guests. Stand by, you're about to be offended in all the right ways. All right, team, welcome back to the podcast. We are part three right now of a three-part series called The Chief of Staff. And so in this section, what we're going to talk about in this part, the final part, we're going to talk about how do you effectively use your chief of staff? How do you get this talent on the team, embrace it, and then be able to utilize this talent to the fullest ability? And as I said in the prior parts there, this is the biggest pitfall when anybody brings a chief of staff. They learn about them. They understand, okay, great, I need to go find one. I've located who that individual might be. I've brought them onto the team. And now they're not, for some reason, the company's not doing what it needs to do. Why? A lot of that typically falls on 8 times out of 10, it's because of the CEO. It's because of the principal, right? They're not utilizing this Ferrari the way that they need to. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how do you effectively use that. And step one is very simple, but it's very difficult. It's a simple step, but it's a very difficult step for most principals. And this is where you get hung up. Principals need to fully open up. And what I mean by that is I'm talking full access. Right? You need to be able to give your chief of staff full access, right? The best principals and the best relationships are the ones that are out there that the chief of staff has email access, has access to all meeting notes, access to all investor communication, sits in on all high profile calls. I mean, they are fully plugged in as if they were the CEO's ears and eyes, right? They are taking in all that information real time. Because any chief of staff is only going to be as effective as what you expose them to. I'll say that again. Chiefs of staff are only going to be as effective as what you expose them to. This position doesn't work that well if all you're doing is hoping that you'll debrief them when the time comes. This person needs to be sitting there real time with you, processing the information immediately. So that means one-on-ones, right? If you have these one-on-ones with you and your chief marketing officer or you and another senior executive in the company, that chief of staff needs to be there. And sure, it's a little awkward at first, and we'll talk about how to get the team conditioned to it, right? But this is what has to happen, and this needs to be just become the norm. And again, if you have the right chief of staff, this is going to be easily overcomable because folks are going to respect that individual and not mind that they're there. And so this is one of those things where when you're thinking about how do you effectively use them, it's about also setting up the environment to allow them to be fruitful. Now, I understand that's difficult. So you might want to just take some time before even bringing on a chief of staff to get comfortable with the idea that this individual is going to probably know everything there is about you, at least professionally and probably personally. But the reality of it is that's the kind of person you're bringing on because it will absolutely and dynamically change your life. So what's the next step for preparation on how you effectively use your chief of staff? You got to get your full executive team aligned, right? This is not something that can just be a pet project for the CEO. The chief of staff, yes, reports into the CEO, reports into the senior principal there, right? To the founder, the entrepreneur who started the organization typically. But the whole entire executive team has got to be behind what this individual is because this is also full access to them as well, right? This isn't like your pet that just runs by you and that, you know, nobody else gets to interact with. This chief of staff's not effective unless they're involved in everything that's going on in the organization. So my recommendation is sitting down with your executive team and explaining to them why this position is important, what this position is going to be, and the fact that this person will be sitting in all the meetings. There's not a single thing that's off limits. You know, it reminds me of a conversation when you typically have, you know, a friend or somebody who greets you at the house and they're like, hey, I got something to tell you. And they'll ask like, hey, can you please ask your significant other to step out? And you know, the other one said, whatever you can say in front of me, you can say in front of him or her, right? You've heard that. Same thing with the chief of staff, right? This is how exactly you got to think about this individual. It's awkward at first, but the right chief of staff is going to make it comfortable. So much to the point where if you're doing it really well, folks will start to confide in the chief of staff, probably even more so than you. And that'll allow you to also get some interesting unfiltered information and feedback about how you can even better run your organization. That's a conversation for another time. Once you get that the battlefield prepared for them to be effective and that environment to be nutrient rich for them, then what you have to then do is allow your chief of staff for the first 60 days, just circulate through your organization. I mean, unfiltered, unobstructed, just straight to the organization and being able to just understand how it works. How does the organism work? How does the heart work? The lungs? What's going on with the kidneys? You know, the legs moving as fast as they need to be moving. All those things, they need to just learn what the heck's going on. And that's also where executive alignment is really important, because they need to know that this individual is going to be tapping in on the teams. I highly recommend that these folks set up interviews with folks that are frontline all the way to senior managers on these teams, so they can really understand what the pain points are, what's working, what's not working, and how things could be better. And then being able to download that not only with you, but the entire executive team, right? So give them the time to learn. There are some things they'll be able to contribute to right away, but give them the first 60 days or so just to really get acquainted with the organization and have a good understanding about how and what needs to get done. Okay, so you got those, you got the environment down, you've given them the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, so they can just kind of run through the organization and figure out what's going on. The thing that you need to make sure on how you effectively use your chief of staff is continuing to remind yourself that this person is an executive on my team. They are not an admin, right? The reason that that is important, and I'm not saying that because admins are not important. They're extremely important. Trust me, admin is worth gold and platinum, whatever you want to call that. They can change your life for the best. But a chief of staff is not somebody that you need to then relegate to managing your calendars and managing and fielding phone calls, right? That's not what a chief of staff is supposed to be doing. This is an executive. You wouldn't treat your chief marketing officer that way. Do not treat your chief of staff that way. If you feel compelled that you want to have them do that work, consider hiring an admin, right? But do not allow your chief of staff to fall into the pit of their just being an administrative role. That is the analogy I like to use is that is driving a Ferrari at 10 miles an hour around the parking lot. Yeah, it looks great. Makes you feel good, right? Because you got a really nice car and it looks shiny. But at the end of the day, you are really using, it's an absolute waste of talent. And then the final thing that I would say about how to effectively use your chief of staff is allowing them to do their thing. What do I mean by that? Well, you hired this person because they already possessed a ton of skills, right, that you already found valuable. So let them do what they do best, right? These folks, again, have high levels of execution, enormous EQ, emotional intelligence, right, should be through the roof, right? And their endurance, they can work. And so allow them to be able to do the things that they are already bred to do, right? And that way, and it's going to feel awkward at first. There's probably going to be some things you're not used to, right? But once you get used to those things, you'll find that they're extracting value that you weren't able to. There's a reason you hired somebody, right, with a different perspective. If you're going to govern all the things that they do, well, then why did you hire somebody? You should have just done it, right? You're bringing somebody on that's really going to be able to help you understand your business from a different lens, and it's going to give you the information and the feedback you need that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to achieve, right? So when you're thinking about how to use your chief of staff effectively, a lot of it is just getting out of their way and allowing them to do what they do best, right? And what's complementary to getting out of their way and letting them do what they do best is also heeding their advice and their counsel very seriously, right? Allowing them to really, you know, spend time with you. And I'd recommend, what I would do when I was a chief of staff, I'd sit first 10 to 15 minutes of every day. It was the first person I'd see was a CEO. And we would debrief on kind of the major things today and what was going on and how it was going to work and not work and the friction points and all those things. And then we would debrief after many meetings, right? If we had a very serious get together with the executive team, or if we had a strategy call or an investor meeting, we'd always debrief of what just happened. And then we'd usually spend about an hour and a half that was outside of we were riding together on most things, right? So we saw each other all the time. But we usually do an hour to hour and a half at the end of the week where we'd really do a deep dive on what happened and the things that need to work, and give that unfiltered raw feedback is super important, where you can just process what it is that's going on. Once you kind of do this for some time, then you can kind of move into the graduate level of how you effectively use your chief of staff, which is then allowing them to start exploring the thing that you saw in them, right? That they could be a future CEO, a future entrepreneur, or somebody who could, you know, continue to go run their own ship one day, and give them more responsibility in your company as you see fit, right? It's not uncommon for chiefs of staff to take over a little more of the chief people role side, to be able to, you know, help with culture and those kind of things, or to be able to go in and maybe help with product and start standing up, you know, little startups within the company, or be able to run maybe completely all the investor things that are in the organization, right? Where they start maybe thinking a little more like a private equity or VC type individual, where they start helping out and understanding how things can be structured depending on what your company and who your company is. If you're privately owned and you don't have anybody who's an investor, then it maybe looks a little bit different. But this is where you could start giving the reins that are just outside the day-to-day operations of the company, but much more strategic authority to be able to start doing things that they will probably eventually do one day anyways, which is a really cool way as somebody who is a principal or CEO to start looking at how incredible the gift can kind of transform the organization, then also lead to that professional development of that individual who is the chief of staff. All right. So just remember, as you're trying to effectively use your chief of staff, which you should be keeping these things in mind. You need to expose them to everything you're exposed to. Otherwise, they can't be effective and they can't be a thought partner in the way things are. You have to prepare the environment for them, get the executive team bought in, right? And then making sure you open up full access so they can actually do the things that they need to do. And then finally, let them do their thing, get out of their way. Allow them to run in that organization full steam ahead. And they're going to break some things, maybe, right? But allow that to happen and allow them to go fix those things. That's going to develop more rapport on their end and allow their organization and the people around them to be able to endear them, because they are somebody who is, you know, trying to make something better and they're seeing them trying to do it. That's it. Once you can figure that out, your company is going to be destined for some great things. All right, that's it. So if you haven't listened to the first and second part, go ahead and do so. I think it'll help give some more context to this episode. But how do you effectively use your chief of staff is paramount. It's the most important part of this whole thing. Well, thank you all for listening. This is the Professionally Offensive Podcast. You can catch us on all platforms. JC out.